Marianne was planning to hike the Camino. There is an ancient pilgrimage, actually many different trails, that lead to the grave of St. James in Compostela, Spain. She planned on beginning in France and walking all the way through into Spain to St. James's grave, as thousands of pilgrims have for centuries. There are a number of members of our congregation who have walked this trail. So Marianne began to pack, and she got a backpack, which was lightweight, where she could carry the essential things that she needed, and no more, because she didn't want it to be too heavy. And she bought the most expensive pair of hiking boots that she could find. They were designed specially for women's feet. And she broke them in by walking miles and miles before even flying over to Europe to begin her pilgrimage. Finally, Marianne set off and she began her hike, her sacred hike, in order to grow closer to God. But within the first few days, she noticed that big blisters were beginning to develop on her feet. It can't be my hiking boots, she thought. Those were the most expensive hiking boots I could buy. They're made specifically for women's feet. It couldn't be them, could it? She kept on hiking in the boots, and every day her blisters got worse and worse and worse, until finally she was limping on the trail. A local man stopped her and said, "Dear, you need to get Spanish sandals. Your feet need to be free. I hate to see you limping like that." By this time, Marianne was desperate, so she bought the sandals, put them on, and oh, wow, did they feel better. She couldn't fit the hiking boots in her backpack, so she tied them to a strap and carried them with her, because after all, they were very expensive. They were heavy, though, and they kept banging against her. But she kept on going. Every day, she wrestled with whether to put those hiking boots on and decided to go with the sandals. And every day, the hiking boots got heavier and heavier. But how could she throw them away? They were so expensive. One morning, she was walking the trail and she saw a pile of hiking gear that someone had left by the side of the trail. She felt a nudge, so she untied her hiking boots and dropped them into the pile. She said, "I felt so much lighter. It was as if God was saying, just let them go. And along with the hiking boots, let everything go. Let your mistakes go, your failed relationships, all the things that you've done wrong in life. Just let them go." It was as if God was freeing me, not just from my boots, but from everything that I had been holding on to so tightly. Today's gospel is really hard. Did you hear it? Jesus says that if we want to follow him, we have to hate our mothers and fathers, our children, our spouses, our sisters and brothers. And at first blush, this doesn't make any sense, does it? It doesn't seem to fit in with the rest of Jesus' message. How could he say love one another, but we're supposed to hate our relatives? Aren't our relatives our neighbors too? So what was he talking about? How do we reconcile what Jesus says about love with what Jesus is saying here? There's a similar passage in the Gospel of Matthew, but Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, you must let go. And I think that's more of what he was getting at, not so much anger and revulsion, hatred, but you have got to be willing to let go, to push away from everything if you want to be my disciple. You have got to be willing to give it up. At the end of the gospel, Jesus says, if you want to follow me, you must let go of all of your possessions. And he doesn't just mean your money or your stuff. He means even your relationships. We cannot hold on to anything in the way that we hold on to God. Have you guys seen the first movie of The Karate Kid? It's one of my favorite ones. You know, with Mr. Miyagi, the little Japanese man who looks so harmless, but he can just destroy everybody in karate. Well, Mr. Miyagi is going to teach Daniel karate, but before he begins, he looks Daniel in the eye and he says, Daniel's son, listen to me. You walk on right side of road, safe. You walk on left side of road, safe. You walk in middle of the road, squish like grape. So it is with following Christ. You decide to follow Christ, wonderful. You decide not to follow Christ, okay. You decide to follow Christ so-so, squish like grape. Jesus is telling us if we are going to follow him, we have to be willing to put God first and above everything else. We have to be willing to let go of everything else and trust in God no matter what. We can't say, I want to follow you, but only if things go the way that I want them to. If they don't go the way that I want them to, I'm going to maybe step over to this side. Nope. We have to be willing to trust God in all things, even when things don't go very well for us. We have to be willing to let go, not just of the good stuff, but also of the stuff that doesn't go so well. You know, Michelangelo, the great artist and sculptor in the 14th century, he said he would look at a big piece of granite or a big block of clay, and when he looked at it, he would meditate on it, and he would see something beautiful hidden within it. And then he would begin to cut away and carve and mold until a beautiful statue was created. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah likens God to a potter who molds us and shapes us using all the events of our lives, the good and the bad. Have you ever seen a potter sitting at a wheel who's trying to make a vessel that will hold water? The potter has to stick his hand into the clay and carve it out and drop parts of the clay away in order to make the vessel. God uses all the events of our lives, the good and the bad, to shape us. If we will only allow him to do it, it will shape us and mold us into the image of Christ. But sometimes being shaped and molded by God, hurts. It's hard. And I don't believe for one minute that God punishes or intends for us to suffer. Just like God didn't plan the cross. But nevertheless, part of our broken world entails us suffering. And if we're going to follow Christ, then we've got to lift up that cross, lift up that suffering, and follow him. We've got to be willing to let it shape us and mold us. When I was in this little church in South Carolina, there was a young man who was a senior in high school, and his brother was in eighth grade. They were the best of brothers, best friends. Late one night, they were walking on a road in rural South Carolina, and a guy who was high on drugs was driving way too fast, and he hit Jeff's little brother. Jeff found himself by the side of the road with his brother's head in his lap, begging him to stay. "Please don't leave me," he said to his little brother. "You're my best friend." But his brother was killed instantly. And so I had to walk with Jeff as he decided how much he really wanted to follow Christ. Was he willing to let God use this horrible thing that had happened, that was not God's will, to shape him into something more? Or was he going to hold on to his brother and his anger and everything that had happened and just be angry at God and make a mess of his life? I watched as this young man struggled to pick up his cross. I watched as he struggled, because part of picking up his cross ended up him having to go on to college and not only leave his brother, but leave his parents, who no longer had anyone at home. I had to walk with him as he testified in court, when this young man who was high on drugs sat there acting like he hadn't even killed a squirrel. I remember Jeff saying, "I know I have to let my brother go. I have to let him go so that one day I'll be able to see him again. But I don't know how I'm going to do it." Step by step, one day at a time, he took up that cross. And he became the most extraordinary man. He would go on, not just from college, but to medical school, where he became a trauma doctor. He tries to save lives, but when he can't save them, he knows how to be with a family in a way that no one else knows how to do, because he knows the pain of losing someone suddenly. So that's really a question that we all face as Christians. Are we going to trust God completely or not? But we can't trust God so-so. Are we willing to put Christ ahead of everything, even our loved ones, and to follow Christ no matter what happens? Or are we in it only when things are going our way? In the psalm, God promises us. He says, "I press upon you behind and before. I have searched you out and known you." When God looks at you, God sees this incredible person that you are called to become. And God will use everything in your life to mold and shape you into that person, even and especially the hard stuff. If only you would let him. It is hard work to be a disciple. It takes enormous trust, enormous trust. Amen.